Hello, and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
I want you to go with me to the book of Mark, chapter 10. The book of Mark, chapter 10. I want to talk to you tonight about a deliverance cry. A deliverance cry. Amen. Or you could call it a cry for deliverance. Right now, I need to be delivered from a hair that's on my face. Amen. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, when you get there, say amen. It says this, but when Jesus called them to himself and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. I have no idea what I'm reading. I'm not reading that. Yeah, 46, and there you go. I knew it was in there somewhere. Give me another one there. There you go. Now they came to Jericho. That was the scriptures leading up to it. I had to read some of it because some of y'all don't read your Bible. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. Now, I don't know how you feel about certain people in the Bible, but blind Bartimaeus is one of my heroes. Blind Bartimaeus, when he got a revelation, he didn't play with it. Blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard, I want you to underline, when he heard that Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, I want you to catch something before I go too much further. He heard about Jesus of Nazareth, but he cried out, Jesus, Son of David. He heard about Jesus of Nazareth, but he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth for thee. The blind man said unto him, Lord, or I'm sorry, I'm skipping a few things. In verse 48, the Bible says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. Many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out even the more. They said, David, you embarrassing us. Or they said, Bartimaeus, you embarrassing us. And he said, whatever. Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. Now, just a little, this is not in my notes, but just a little something. You notice, hang on just a minute. Let me just hang on just a minute. The first time that he cried out in this passage, Jesus didn't stand still. But when he didn't let the crowd hinder him, when he didn't let anybody else hush his praise up or hush his cry up, that's when Jesus stood still. See, there are too many people who are just crying out once in a while, and you wonder why Jesus didn't stop by your house. But he said, I'm not going to let my circumstances, my situation, or anybody around me hush my praise or hush my cry, because nobody else can help me where I'm at in my life. And Jesus stood still. Be of good cheer. Rise. He's calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Father, grant me that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing. Lord, without the anointing, it's just a lecture. But with the anointing, God, it breaks the yoke of bondage. And God, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice would get what they need tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Let me say to you that if there is going to be a deliverance, there's got to be a cry. You know, I'll never forget, as a young minister, I just started preaching. I hadn't been preaching long, but I'd been preaching a couple of years. And I told a minister who was older than I was, I said, "You know, I don't understand it." I said, "Because nobody has yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I've been preaching." And this wise man said these words to me that I'll never forget. He said, "Have you ever given an invitation for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues?" I said, "No, come to think of it, I haven't." He goes, "So well, then how in the world do you think they're going to receive unless you ask them to receive?" So now, I said all that to say this, that if there's going to be a deliverance, there's got to be a cry. That if you want out of your situation, you got to ask God to get you out. Or let me rephrase that. If you want out, you got to ask God to help you get out. See, that's the what we normally do. We just ask God to get us out. "Lord, I want you to do all the work without anything on my end. And Lord, if you could deliver me from all this stuff, I don't want to have to go through a class. I don't want to have anybody pray for me. I don't want nobody to know my stuff. I just want to be free." But if there's going to be a deliverance, there's got to be a cry. Jacob cried out and wrestled with God all night one day. At the Red Sea, Moses and the children of Israel cried out and God delivered them. The judges of the Israelites cried out for a deliverance from the Midianites, and God raised up Gideon. And if you're ever going to get free from whatever it is you're dealing with, you got to cry out unto God for him to come into your situation. Good preaching, Pastor. Here's why. The devil knows the record of God. So he tries to stop you from ever crying out unto God, because he knows that if you ever cry out to him and truly cry out to him, he knows Jeremiah 33:3 says that if we cry out to him, he would hear us and answer us and show us great and mighty things. So if we cry out, we have a promise that he hears us. Oh, I don't think y'all heard that. If you cry out to him, he hears you. Now, you know, I haven't always been as sweet as I am now. Y'all chuckle on that. But there was a day that one lady asked me, she said, "Pastor, the Lord," and I just happened to be in one of those days. I know y'all don't get them, only preachers do. I was in one of those days, and she said, "Pastor, the Lord don't hear me praying anymore." I go, "Then I just cuss him." And immediately she said, "Well, I will not. He'll hear me." And I wanted to go, and here's your sign. Because if he hears you cussing him, don't you think he would hear you praising him? You know, I'm looking around. We got a few small kids in the building tonight. And I promise you that some of you mamas, and I know daddies because I am one, we can sometimes tune out the kids. Matter of fact, we try sometimes to tune them out. Right? Because you know the difference between a whine and I didn't get what I wanted and I'm hurt and I need help. Right? And when a mama or a daddy hears that cry as I've been hurt, nothing can stop us from getting there. Speaking of getting hurt. Oh, that happens all the time. See, he thought she said stand up, but she said shut up, and so it happens. That's right. Hey, small woman, you them small women, dynamite in small packages. That's right. Amen. But how many of us know that when we hear the cry of our children, I mean, there's a difference between when they're whining. I mean, it's amazing. Now, it's not as good anymore as it once was. I don't know why. But it seems like now parents don't know the difference between a whiny cry and a I just want to be held because I'm spoiled cry and something's wrong with me cry. How do you know? Because I ain't going to go there. It's a whole other message. But the first point is this, if you're taking notes, that there's got to be a cry of faith saying I want out of here. I got to get out of here. Now, I want you to picture this in your mind. Bartimaeus, this man was in darkness, so he had to depend on learning through touch or what he heard. So he learned and observed and absorbed what he heard and what he could touch. And what he heard was that Jesus of Nazareth had been going around doing miracles, setting the captive free, opening up the blinded eye, causing the lame to walk. And when he heard this, it caused a chain reaction inside his spirit. Have you ever heard or ever been where you couldn't see past your circumstances? Most of us have. If you haven't, I got some bad news. One day you will. You get there that you just can't see past where you are right now. And when you're in those seasons, we've got to learn how to hear beyond our present circumstances. Like I'm hearing, not filtered through what I'm going through, but I hear filtered through the Word of God. I hear what the Word of God says, not because of what I'm going through, but through the Word of the living God. All right? Jim, I have no monitor. I just need y'all to quit pushing buttons. Get Mike off the soundboard. He is not a sound tech. He is a media guy. Get off the soundboard, Mike. I'm just kidding. Okay, there we go. I'm feeling better now. Yes. All right. Do what you need to out there. I just need a little bit up here. All right, so we got to learn to hear beyond our present circumstances. And the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. All right? So we need the Word of God. But here's the deal. Based on what he heard, he began to formulate what he wanted Jesus to do for him. Based on what he heard from the Lord, what he heard about Jesus, he began to formulate what I need Jesus to do. Now, some of us have heard the word preached for so long, but we have yet to formulate our faith depending upon Jesus. Because we hear without hearing. Are you hearing me? We hear without hearing. But Pastor, I want to hear and see. Well, sometimes you don't get to see until you hear. But if you will hear and formulate your faith on what you hear and begin to muster up your faith, then you might be able to see those things what you hear. All right? Here is one of the hardest things about people is vision without sight. Vision without sight. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it ain't so. All right? Now here, Helen Keller said this. She was asked, what would be worse than being born blind? She said, to have sight without vision. What would be worse than being blind is to have sight without vision. Because see, some of us can't see past where we are. Some of you can't see yourself happy. Some of you can't see yourself saved. Some of you can't see yourself delivered. Some of you can't see yourself prospered. Some of you can't see yourself except for in that Jerry Springer episode that you've been living in. You can't see yourself outside of that situation. You can't see yourself with friends. You can't see yourself, but you need to hear what the word of the Lord is saying to you and to formulate a desire that, Lord, I'm going to cry out to you because you said if I cry out that you would hear me and you would answer me. So therefore I'm going to cry out and allow that faith to come into my life and cause a change in my life. Blind Bartimaeus got a word that produced a vision. You got to get out of the mentality of that's for other people. Oh, that's for them good church folk. Not me who struggle. What you don't know about good church folk is they ain't always been good church folk. And matter of fact, some of you think good church folk now still struggling. Come on, somebody. How do you know? Because I know the pastor and he struggles sometimes. Come on. All right? So we got to understand this. That's what the devil wants you to keep you down, that you can't see yourself. But based on what he heard, a vision began to be produced. Based on what I hear. My Lord, if God did that for him. See, that's why your testimony is so important. The revelation said that they overcame by the word of the Lamb, or the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. That's why your testimony is so important. Your testimony is, girl, you should have seen me 20 years ago. You should have seen me. There are some of you that would just blow people's mind if they knew you BC, before Christ. It would just blow their mind because they see you now and you're all of that and a bag of chips in their eyes. But if they could see you before Christ got a hold of you, it would give them some hope that if God can do it for you, then surely God can do it for me. If God can deliver you, then God can deliver me. That's why you need to be a witness of what God has and is doing in your life. Bartimaeus didn't have a miracle, but he had a word and he had a vision. Let the word of God produce a vision. Now listen to me closely. I've preached this principle for years, but you'll never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. You'll never let go of what is common. You'll never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. Now, you've heard the word of the enemy. You've heard the word of everybody else saying it's always going to be like this. You've heard the word of the enemy saying that God loves everybody else more than he loves you. You just better be glad that you're on board. You better be glad that you're saved. And hey, listen, I'm glad that I'm saved, but I do know this, that I know enough of the word of God that I'm saved by grace. I'm healed by grace. I'm healed by mercy. I'm delivered by faith. I understand that. And I'm thankful that I'm here, but bless God, I am not a mistake. God didn't just come by and he was in the neighborhood and saved me, but he came to where I was, not where I should have been, not to where I ought to have been, not to where everybody else thought I was, but he came to where I was and he began to deal with me right then and there. And thanks be to God, I'm saved today because of it. Sometimes all you have is a small word, but a small word will still produce a huge miracle if you hang on to that word. See, the problem is we don't let that word take root. A mighty oak begins with a small seed. Amen? You look at anybody else's life And it began with a seed. Are you hearing me? Their miracle that you see them experiencing, it began with a small seed. They didn't just pop out and go, happy birthday, here I am. They went through some things. They journeyed through some things. They formulated some things on their journey. And they didn't give up and give out because, listen, too many people are in a hurry for God to do it right now. Took you 27 years. To get yourself in that situation. You want God to do it in 27 seconds. Now the cool thing is I've seen him do it. But there's a lot of times I saw him walk people through it. You know, listen, let me just give you this word of encouragement. I shared it many times before, but I haven't in a while. But there was a time when my girl, them shoes look good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Squirrel, yeah. I ain't seen them new shoes. Them new shoes, them fine out there. Dang. Baby girl been gone a week, Lord. Y'all help me somebody. All right, so anyway, I don't even know where I was at. Where was I at? You don't know either. She said, I don't know. I was caught up with you. We're going home. Y'all can have it. No, I'm just kidding. Where was I at, Alan? There was a time after we had our second child that we were as in debt and broke and busted and almost disgusted as I ever was. I've always, and you can ask my wife, you can ask our bookkeepers, I've always paid tithes. And you know, and some folks go, well, if I pay tithes, then I ought not to have any financial problems. That is not biblical. Amen. You still got to manage what you have left. Come on, somebody. And so, and I'll never forget it. The Lord spoke to me. I was laying in my recliner and I was looking through the ads to see if I'd about getting a second job that would not interfere with me being the pastor of this church. And we were a lot smaller then, and I was looking at it, and the Lord spoke to me during that and said, buy a house. I was like, Lord, I can't buy a Coke. Much less a house. But you know what I did? I started looking. I was in the job section. I went to the for sale houses. And I was looking at a house we were renting at the time. My wife come by and she goes, what are you looking at? So I'm looking to buy a house. Are you kidding me? We're going to buy a house? Oh, I'm so excited. She said, we can afford that? I go, nope. And she said, like most women do, Ronnie Reed, don't you play with me. You know I want a house, and you don't even play with me. And I said, all right. See, it wasn't her word. Oh, y'all don't hear me. It wasn't her word. I had to have enough faith because it was my word. And I couldn't just wait for her to get on board. I had to believe despite, because God hadn't spoke to her. God spoke to me. You want everybody else to have the faith that you have because they didn't hear from God. You did, so you got to have the faith. So to make a long story short, and I've told this many times, I began to do what I needed to do. I buckled down. I got us on a budget. I began to pay stuff off. And then the Lord sent a couple into the church and began to send me money. Woo! Was I expecting it? No. The first time, I never forget, the first time it came through the offering, the bookkeeper came in. She goes, Pastor, this $30 is for you. I go, no, that's their tithe, I'm sure. Nope, their tithe is right here, and this is for you. I said, are you kidding me? She said, no. I was like, well, hallelujah. So I took the $30, and I prayed over the $30, and the people who gave me the $30 put it in my pocket and went on. Praise God. About 2.5 weeks later, she said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. The same couple. They paid tithes, and they sent you $300. Now, here's what I want you to get. I had already put into place the plan that the Lord had given me to get out of debt. I'm working. I'm doing my part. We done quit eating out. We done cut every expense that we could cut so we could get out of debt. And so when I begin to do that, God, I know, begin to help me. Because this couple was in our church for about 9 months. And within about, was it about 9 months? About 9 months. And in 9 months, they sent me about $8,000 or $9,000 to collectively. Woo! And then just poof, disappeared. Oh, trust me, I'll look for them. Trust me. Judge me if you want to. You'd look for them too. They ain't leaving my church. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I went to their house. I'm not exaggerating. I went to their house and it was cleaned out. Everything gone. No forwarding address. No nothing. I didn't wait like no 6 months to go see them either. I mean, there was like the third Sunday. They wasn't there. I went to their house. Check them out. What's going on with y'all? Because they were involved and boom, they were gone. I don't know. Pastor, are you saying they're angels? I know they were my angels. I don't know about real angels, but they were my angels. But I said all that to say this. If you will do the difficult part, God will send in the supernatural to help you do what you can't do yourself. But it got to be on you. See, what we do is this. What we do is we just wait for stuff to happen. And if something happens to you, then you got to wait for something else to happen to get you out of it. But once you begin to realize that I've got a part to play in this life, and I am where I am, right, wrong, or indifferent, based on my choices and what I have done, then you begin to understand it's not about what happens. It's about you making right choices in the middle of the situation. And if I'll make a right choice, God will give me a miracle. So blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming to town. Based on what he heard about Jesus, he formulated a vision that if God could do it for these other people, he would do it for him. And when he heard him coming down the road, he said, Jesus, thou son of David. Jesus, son of Nazareth, was his natural, but Jesus, son of David, was his divinity. He was tapping into something supernatural. He got a revelation of who he was, not just of where he was from. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. When he heard that, people said, hush, you're embarrassing us. And he said, he cried out even the more. See, sometimes all you got is a small word, but a small word will produce and bring a miracle. His faith caused him to have a concept of who Jesus was. You mean Jesus, the way maker, the sea walker, the water into wine miracle worker. Someone told him. Somebody told him that Jesus was coming by. And he believed him. He believed that Jesus was coming by. And he believed that if all these other things was true about Jesus, then he believed that, God bless God, I'm going to get my sight today. When Jesus called him, he said, what can I do for you? You know, if that had been some of us, we'd be like, duh, I need my sight. Right? But he said, I need my sight. He didn't say, well, if it wasn't too much trouble, you know, if you have it in your power to do, no, he just walked. What do you need? He didn't wait. What do you need? I need my sight. And Jesus said, now this is Florida English. Jesus said, dog, boy. I believe he slapped him a high five and said, go on with your bad self. Look at you. Well, shoot, your faith has made you whole. Go on with it. And immediately when he turned around, the sight came. Because based on what he heard, there are many of you who have heard enough mirror or heard enough word to save the world, but you've yet to believe the word that you've heard. Well, I can't help that. Well, then, Lord, help my unbelief. Open my spiritual eyes that I may see the word of God and receive the word of God and hear the word of God that produces a change in my life. Bartimaeus said, Jesus, thou son of David. This is a messianic term. The son of David, whom was prophesied. I believe you can do what needs to be done. All right. Point number three is this. A cry that must not be silenced or distracted. How many times? I don't know about you. But I don't know why God doesn't do some of the things that I want him to do when I want him to do it. And there are some things that I've prayed and prayed and cried and fasted over that still has not yet come to pass. Well, then what do you do? Will I just give up on it? No. A cry that must not be silenced or distracted. I'm not deterred. I'm not deterred. I am not going to turn around. Well, Pastor, I get tired of going down to the altar. I get tired of people praying for me and nothing happens. I don't give a rip. If I need a miracle, every chance I get. All right. We're going to pray for marriages. But you need a financial miracle? We're going to pray over marriages. If you need marriage prayer, come on up. I'm coming up. I got financial problem. My marriage is fine, but I need some financial problem. I need prayer. Okay, what's wrong with your marriage? No, it ain't my marriage. It's my finances. I need prayer for my finances. Well, we're just praying for financial right now. Well, or we're just praying for marriages right now. Well, if my finances don't get better, my marriage is going to be in trouble. There you go. I mean, do you get the gist? But what do? Here's what we do. We come, we get prayer, we pray, we agree together, nothing happens. And we go back going, well, I didn't feel nothing. Well, nothing happened. I didn't expect it to. Duh. You got what you expected. But let me tell you something. Every time that you come, bless God, I just going to believe, Lord. If I'm going back and it didn't happen, well, I'm a little closer to it than I was before. I'm just getting a little bit closer. I may not know how, I might not know when, but I know that based on what I know about Jesus, it will come to pass if I just keep on believing. I don't care how long you've been separated. I don't care how many times you've been apart. If I just keep believing and I keep holding on to the unchanging hand of God, I know that God's going to bring it to pass because I belong to Him. I'm His. Blind Bartimaeus. See, you can't wait for everybody to get on board. Listen. Now listen. Don't get in no fight over it. When me and Sherry was going through that, we didn't fight about it. She just said, don't play with me, Ronnie Reed. So I realized, all right, I can't say nothing to her about this. And I went looking at houses without her. And the house, the one that we eventually moved into, that we bought, I went to that house, and I looked at that house, and it was the ugliest house on the block. I ain't lying, y'all. It was canary yellow. I'm not kidding. With Brady Bunch orange trim. You could see it from space. And the neighbors told me they meant to paint it that color. Somebody was colorblind. But anyway, I walked up. Me and Ken Lee was with me. And we walked up. We were looking for church property. And we seen this sign. And we got out. I go, shh, I wouldn't give them $20,000 for this piece of junk. And then I walked up to the house. And you can tell my wife can see a pattern. She's a seamstress. So she can see stuff and see what it could be. That's not me. Sherry, she'll hold up fabric to me. Ooh, wouldn't that make a pretty dress? Looks like an apron. I don't know. But she could see it. But when I got there, because now I want you to hear me. But this time something was different. I'd been working on my faith. This time was different. God had been working on me. And I began to see what normally I couldn't see. And so I go, well, let me just talk to him. I probably couldn't afford it, but let me just see. And I talked to him and I was like, oh, it's in my range. And you know, it was a repossession and HUD and this, that, and the other. And you've never bought a house and you qualify, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, really? Matter of fact, the mortgage was only going to be, no, the mortgage was going to be $25 more a month than what I was paying for rent. So I called Cherry. I said, "Now listen, I want to go show you something." "What? What are you going to show me?" I just want you to see it. What are you showing me, Ronnie?" So we got out of the car. I go, "Now, honey, just look at the potential. Don't look at it where it is right now. Just look at the potential. I mean, come on. You're good at that. You married me. Come on, somebody. Just look at the potential." And she looked, and I seen her eyes get big. I thought, "Oh, she's getting mad." And she walked around that house because it was closed up. She'd look inside. One window, I had to hold her up because she was short. Looked inside of the windows. And she said, "I can see it." She said, "Are you kidding me right now?" I go, "Well, I certainly wouldn't. I would never, because I'm a smart man. I would never put an offer in on a house without going through you first. Because I want to move into this house with you." And she said, "I see it." Long story short, we got the bid, we moved in it, and got the rest is history. All right. But what I'm saying is I couldn't wait for her to get on board with me. But I wasn't gonna fuss with her about it. And I wasn't gonna make her feel, see, that's the problem. Somebody, you know, well, you know, here's what normally happens. "We're gonna buy a house." Something along those lines. "We're gonna buy a house." "Oh, don't play with me, Ronnie Reed." "Oh yeah, we're gonna buy a house." "Well," and she said to me, "don't talk to me until we can afford it about this thing." So what would it? Many of us would have went, "Oh, you of little faith." Right? We'd have got on our high horse, our self-righteousness. "Oh, you of little faith." And just been at each other. But you don't do that. When somebody don't believe with you, go, "It's all right. It's all right." It ain't their word. You didn't hear me. It's not their word. It's your word. Amen. "Well, but Pastor, I don't have a word yet." Then get a word. Amen. How do I get a word? Get in your book. Amen. "Well, I'm waiting for somebody to call me out and give me." No, get in your book. Jesus called you out of darkness into his perfect light. Get in the book. Get a word on it. Listen, I'm going to preach this. I wasn't going to give this. See, all of a sudden, this thing just come on. I'm telling you, I'm about to take a shotgun. Just shoot some of this stuff. It just come on. Did y'all hear it? It's like too loud now. Mike, I told you to get off the sound. Mike's back there, like, "Pastor, how are you doing? I'm just sitting here." But you can't wait for everybody to get on board. You just got to believe what God said to you. All right? And don't worry about it, because when it's time for them to get on board, they'll get on board. Because here, I read the Bible in pictures. Here's what I seen happen with blind Bartimaeus. Are you kidding me? Blind Bartimaeus. Here's what I see. Blind Bartimaeus was hollering, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy." "Shh, hush, hush. You embarrassing me. Jesus, just hush. Jesus, shut up." Jesus said, hey, "Bring him to me. Oh, I'll give him, he's my friend." Yeah, I know God's going to touch him now. Yes, Jesus, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes. I know. I've been telling you to call on him. That's the way my mind works. The same people that told him to shut up, go, "Oh, let me get him here. Come on up here. Come on, you sit down." But you can see now, boy, go sit down. Now, all right, come here, I got to use you again. Now, blind Bartimaeus wasn't delivered from blindness at this point when Jesus called him. But what he was delivered from was people. See, at some point in time, you got to get over what folks said about you. Because you're not what they say you are what you answer to. You are what you answer to. So he didn't get delivered from blindness until he got to where Jesus was. But at some point in time, he got delivered from people because he said, I don't care what people say. I don't care what they think. They didn't make me blind. They can't keep me from being healed. And I'm going to call upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, here's what I know about Jesus. He'll bless me right in the middle of some situations. He will bless you right in the middle of folks talking about you. God don't have to have a committee meeting when he starts getting ready to bless you. Hallelujah. Point number four. I got two more points. I can get them. Just give me 3 minutes. A little bit. A cry that must be accompanied by obedience. Now that's key. I've already talked a little bit about that. Especially Pentecostals are the world's worst. That we just want Jesus to do it all. We just want to, I'm not being sacrilegious. I don't want to have no meaningful theological conversation with you after service. But what we want to do is throw some tongues at it. I'm a tongue talker. She rode a Honda. Economy auto supply. Sounds spiritual, don't it? But what we do is we throw tongues at it. And we think that's going to fix everything. Ooh, my children act up. Economy auto supply. No. Put your hand on their behind. Ooh, my marriage is in trouble. No. You want to do something. Praying, yes. Let me help you with prayer. Prayer has more to do with the person praying than the other people you're praying about. Lord, change it. You know, I have people come to me all the time. So not all the time anymore. They go to Steve now. But I used to have people come to me all the time. No, that's cool. That's what he's there for. But they come to me, Pastor, I need help with my marriage. Oh, okay. All right. Good. Where's your spouse? Well, they didn't come. All right, well, let's talk about you. Well, I'm not the problem. Okay, since the problem's not here, there's not much I can do about the problem then. So why don't we just talk about you? Well, I don't need to talk about me because I'm all that in a bag of chips and a cup of cheese. They'll be thinking their Lord they married to me because I'm all that, blah, 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 blah. All right, anybody know what I'm talking about? That didn't work. A cry must be accompanied by obedience. He said, bring it. He said, I'm on my way. They said, bring it. Now, here's what you got to realize. You can't tell God how you want to be delivered. Well, I want to be delivered cute. You know, anybody in here other than me is an ugly crier? Oh, my God. I hate, because I'm such an ugly crier. I mean, I'm just like ugly, you know. What's that old U-G-L-Y, you ugly. You ugly. And that's me when I cry, man. I'm just, you know, you're trying to quit it, dude. Like you're in pain, got some gas pains or something. I'm just like, that's how I want God to deliver me cute. I want God to deliver me like where I am. God, you know, some folks, I want to get delivered, but I don't want to fall out on the floor, and I don't want to do the Church of God chicken or anything, and I don't want to shake and bake and all that. But I don't care. Because when you get sick and tired of being in that situation, you go, God, I don't care what it takes. I don't care how I look. I don't care how I sound. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I just want deliverance out of here. That's when your cry gets heard. I don't care that people are tired of seeing me. I just got to get delivered. So you can't tell God how to deliver you. It might not be convenient for you. Now, Jesus didn't have to call him out to deliver him. His power is enough. He could have said, "Be thou made whole." And poof, happy birthday. There it is. Has that happened? Absolutely. Anybody ever been delivered sitting in your seat? I have. Anybody ever been delivered? You know, I got saved. I was my own first convert. That's no joke. I didn't get saved by coming to an altar. I got saved by my sister asking me to sing at a revival. And I said, "I don't know." I said, "I don't really sing church music anymore." And they go, because I learned how to play the piano because my daddy didn't have a piano player. And I figured if I got to go to church, I might as well do something while I'm there. So I learned how to play the piano. And then taught me some party favors when I went to parties. But anyway. And I went and played and sung myself under conviction. Only song that a sinner knows, back old Dallas Holmes song. "I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind." Two men walking up a hill. One disappears, one left standing still. I wish we'd all been ready. I'm not ready. There's no time to change your mind. The sun is coming. You've been left behind. And right there, man, I gave my heart to Christ. I didn't even say the words. I was like, "Oh, you know. I got saved. I didn't wait. You know, I could. Matter of fact, I went back to my seat, and my brother-in-law got up and said, "I want to help this person stand up." And right, I just got saved. I said, "I'm already standing." Should have known right then I was going to be a preacher. But anyway, sometimes God will call you out to embarrass you to see how bad you want deliverance. But when you get desperate enough, it won't matter who's around or who's down. Whatever God says, that's just what you'll say yes to. God, yes. All right, number five, I'm done. We want a comfortable deliverance. See, Bartimaeus had a garment. And back in biblical times, that you would be able to have a garment which would give you the right to stand out or sit out or whatever and beg. So you had this garment. It was almost like a permit that you were able to go and beg and that nobody would mess with you. And so, but it's hard to get deliverance. My God, you got to hear me. It's hard to get deliverance from things that you're comfortable with. See, instead of fighting against some things, we just become comfortable with them. "Well, it's just my cross to bear." And we all have a cross to bear. "Well, I've just had to learn to live with it." Well, there are some things you might need to learn to live with, but there are some things that God never called you to live with. All right? "Well, I'm unequally yoked, but it's comfortable." You know, all right, now let me go on. But when he called Jesus, or when Jesus called blind Bartimaeus, the Bible says he took off his cloak and he left it there. See, here's what he was saying. This is where I am, but when I get there, I'm not going to need this anymore. It was a step of faith. I'm not going to need this anymore because I'm going to the King. Take me to the King. I'm going to the King. And I'm not going to need this coat any longer because he's about to give me a brand new coat. He's about to give me a brand new set of circumstances. I'm not going to need this any longer. I'm not going to be average. See, Bartimaeus might be able to have made it with the garment, but I'm sure it would have slowed him down. But here's what he was saying. Here's what he was saying. Jesus, I'll trade my garment for deliverance. I'll trade my garment of comfort for deliverance. Now, my question to you tonight is: how many are willing, or of us are willing to trade our comfort of garment, our garment of comfort, for deliverance? A cry, a deliverance cry. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah, Jesus. See, some of us want to control our issues instead of getting delivered from them. Because some of the things we like. Come on, Spirit Life team, help me out. Come on down. Tonight, you got to cry for deliverance. You can share what it is if you want to, or you don't have to. But if you want deliverance. Now, listen, here's the problem. Here's the problem. Because we speak in Christianese. When we say deliverance, we many times think, oh, I got to be delivered from sin. Well, it might be sin, but it ain't. Deliverance is not necessarily sin. I know folks who need to get delivered. Yes, Lord. I know folks who need to get delivered from a religious spirit. I know folks who need deliverance from self-righteousness. From a pharisaical spirit. And the list goes on. But I also know folks who need to get delivered from drugs, alcohol, sexual addiction. Whatever it is. They're going to play this song a little bit. And if you if you're ready to get out, if you're ready to have a cry for deliverance or of deliverance, when they begin to sing this song and the faith begins to build up inside of you, step out and let some folks pray with you and believe. Let folks believe. Help them. Let them agree with you that in the name of Jesus, that it be broken off of your life.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.